Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take Weekly Newsletter. That newsletter is free for anyone to receive, just like this podcast, which you can find on iTunes or anywhere you get. We get your podcasts and the Turner's Take Newsletter. You can find it at turnerstake.com and sign up for that. It is free for anyone to receive it. I am a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with speculators and hedgers. Online traders, broker assisted, a mix of both is our most popular category called the hybrid. And we have a great online technology. DT Pro is fantastic. You can use it on your computer, on the web, on your phone. I do write two other newsletters. Turner's Take Ag Marketing is for the clients I work with here for the farming and hedging side. And Turner's Take Market Alert, which is for speculative ideas, which I actually wrote for both today. And we will get into that. So thanks for listening today. It's been pretty volatile times in the grain markets here, but let's start off like we always do with the macro. At the end of last week, we did see some, I think consumer sentiment was good and retail sales were okay. And at the end of this week, we'll have jobless claims. That's hopefully will be okay for economic indicating reports. You know, nothing big has really come out here. And earnings haven't really shocked anyone either. Since the last time we talked, I think it was Tesla that's having its issues right now, but otherwise, that's just one company. But the stock market has rallied, and it looks like the stock market's kind of shrugging off the whole either China trade war, or maybe it's, like I said in the last podcast, these things, these reactions we have, you know, is never as big as the first time, like the government shutdown and the Brexit and the, you know, some country defaulting or leaving the euro. It's never as big as a correction as it was the first time. So I think that's what we're seeing. I think the, you know, we went from 2960 in the S&P to 2800, came down 160 S&P points, you know, and here we now we're now back to about 2870, trying to find our footing here, and adjusting for what's gonna probably be a prolonged trade war with China. There was a story that came out today. I'll include it in the newsletter and put it in the show notes, but it was the Chinese president told a cheering crowd, we are now embarking on a new long march, capitalized long march, and we must start all over again. While he did not mention the U.S. and I think the trade war by name, if you read the reports coming out of China here, it sounds like China is getting ready for a prolonged trade war. You know, I would say at the end of last year or middle of last year, I'd written up newsletter and did a podcast on what if this trade war turns into really an economic cold war between the two countries. If they can't get the intellectual property and IT transfer sorted, which was always going to be the crux of all this, they can't get these sorted to the countries, there was this risk that we could have a prolonged cold war style trade war between the United States and China. And that's what seems like may be happening now. It's kind of holding out hope for a long time here, but the story today, and again, I'll include it, but, you know, it just sounds like tariffs are going to be here for a while. It sounds like the United States is going to probably tariff China and everything, and China will do the same to the United States, and if China needs our grain, they'll accept it, and if they don't, they'll find something wrong with it, like they normally do, and, you know, I think that's the new reality now. So now the markets have to adjust for what a prolonged trade war looks like with China. I think the market was already thinking that may happen, but that is where we're going to be. And so, you know, what I see long term here is that you can already see the supply chains moving out of China because it's becoming expensive anyways, and companies didn't want to be into forced transfer for technology. So I'm sure other places in South Southeast Asia, India. We'll start to be. We'll probably hear more stories out of the next 6 months to a year about more operations moving over there, if we haven't already. I would think the stock market grinds higher as long as earnings are okay. There, you know, it is going to be a little bit of a blow to not being able to produce the good, you know, the goods that we were in China, if things are going to start to switch. But I think it probably hurts the Chinese economy more. We'll have to keep an eye on China's stock market. But it sounds like the president's already, I mean, over there, if he's using the term new long march, I think they realize they're in for some tough times ahead if this is the way they want to go down. So that's the kind of set the macro stage for the day. And then we'll transition from macro into the grains here. You know, there was a report out of Bloomberg. Let me bring it up here. I'll include this in the links to the Bloomberg report. Administration considered payments of $2 per bushel for soybeans, 63 cents for wheat, and 4 cents for corn. I want to say this came out, I don't know, maybe an hour before the close, because I was looking at the markets. I was talking to a client. Beans were up, I don't know, 5 to 10, and all of a sudden they were down 5. Out of nowhere. And it was really when the story came out and then it hit Twitter and then hit everything else. What's interesting about this story, the reason why soybeans sold off is when the traders first saw $2 per bushel, they immediately thought, okay, I'm going to get 5 plants soybeans this year. I'm going to get $2 that I'm planting. However, if you go through the story, and honestly, I haven't really mentioned this yet, but I've been waiting for something to come out from the USDA for some kind of report. But, you know, being a client here at Daniel's Trading, or being a broker here at Daniel's Trading, we do have clients that either are on or associations with national, you know, boards or state-level boards. And I'm talking, like, you know, for corn and soybeans and for wheat. And, you know, they are farmers and also high up on those committees, and they also have the access to the lobbyists and what's going on in Washington. And one thing that we had heard, it was the $2. I had heard the $2 a bushel in soybeans. But one thing that was really batted around was, you know, don't tie it to this year's production, because it's going to skew production in towards the soybeans. And the last thing we really need right now is more soybeans, where it made more sense to take a historical average, right? Something like the subsidies from the Freedom to Farm Act, where, you know, it's based on, let's see, where I believe the way that one worked is, you know, they're based on an average how many acres a farmer planted, and then the production is based on county yields. So what I was hearing is if we do $2 per bushel, it would be based on, let's say, this wasn't concrete, but just something I heard there. And now that's being batted around in the media. I'm happy to think it's appropriate to talk about it. 5-year average. So not counting this year, but the previous 5 years, what that farmer planted in soybeans. And then, you know, take the average yield for the county, alrighty? And then you get your $2. So if you, you know, over the course 5 years, you know, you planted, you know, 400 acres of soybeans, then 500, then 600, then 500, then 400. You know, your average is going to be, let's just say your average is around 500. I'm not going to do the math right now, but it's actually probably a little bit lower than 500. And let's say the county yield on soybeans is 50. We'll just use the national average. You take, you know, take that, you know, 500 number for the average acres you had for the past 5 years, times it by the county, 50, that's how many bushels you did. You get $2 per bushel. That's it. That's how it's going to work. Or that's how we thought it was going to work. The trade sold off soybeans today because I think what the trade was thinking is like, oh, geez, you know, I'm going to only get that $2 in case, and if I plant soybeans, so everyone's got to plant soybeans. And that's why if you look at the chart today, you can really see the bean market coming down. And I think that's what we were playing. So the USDA, right after the close or right before the close, sent out a note, you know, basically saying, or, you know, through the wire service, that when they do the Farm Aid package, which, by the way, the Farm Aid is going to be for a trade war that the government, you know, the government created. And you know, they're going to, what they said is they're going to structure the deal so it doesn't influence acres this year, which to me means they're going to be taking the, not this year, but something like a 5-year average of what that farmer planted and taking the county yield. That's what it really sounds like to me. We'll see if that's right. If it's true, I think that's bullish for soybeans going forward. If I'm wrong, and I really hope I'm not just, you know, on a pride thing, but just for soybeans' sake, you know, we could be a dollar lower, right? Because then if it really is tied to this year's production, everyone, I mean, who wouldn't want to try to, if you know you're going to get $2, why not try to grow some soybeans here if you can make it work? But I think if the government does it the way I was suggesting, or we've kind of heard, is not only do you support the farmers from basically a government, you know, government starting a trade war with China, so the farmers got hurt on that, they provide aid there, but two, if they don't tie it to this year's production, and people can also take prevent plant, you're going to lose some production, and it could be significant, which is what we're going to now roll into, too. And, you know, when I first read that story today in Bloomberg, and if, you know, you look at the bottom, it says, oh, you know, that's kind of not happy with the reporter on this one. He said, yeah, you know, sometimes the Congress, you know, sometimes aid is based on what you produced that year, what you planned on intending. And sometimes aid is based on the averages. And they didn't really say what the, whoever their source, I don't think the reporter knew to ask his source exactly which way they were leaning or what it may mean for prices. Because it really is a dollar up, dollar low, dollar higher, dollar lower based on it. I'm going to take this real quick and then we're going to get into our corn and soybean production estimate. Okay, so that took a little bit longer than I thought, but here, let's now get into some of the price models. I will add this to our show notes, and just kind of a little discombobulated here. Okay, here we go. So, corn and soybeans. This is how I think this works out. We're going to see less corn acres and a lower yield, and we're going to see less soybean acres and a lower yield, which is, you know, nothing shocking here, except for maybe the soybeans. I know that some people think we're going to add soybeans, but I'll get to the corn first, and then we'll move to soybeans, and then we'll talk a little bit about price ranges. So for corn, as we all know, we had 92.8 million on the originally from the USDA, and that Maywazi in a 176 yield put ending stocks about 2.5 billion right there. We got to think now, with everything going on in Illinois and Indiana and Ohio and in South Dakota, that we could lose probably minimum 3 million acres, maybe let's say maximum 6, right? So I did my supply and demand table saying, okay, 90 million acres and 87, just to give us the range of what things could really look like, or just to get an idea, right? You know, this is not, we're not forecasting the future here, but we want to see what lower acres and lower productions do to supply to give us an idea how the ending stocks come out, and that can help us figure out a price range. If we go on the yield side, we're thinking, and you know, we're going to be planting late, it's going to be a drag on yield. Some farmers will go early season corn. If they do, they'll lop off like 20 bushels per, you know, per acre immediately. Some of the guys we've been talking to, you know, the emergence numbers are low. They're planting in cold, wet ground. You know, these plants aren't popping up looking all healthy and green. They're either taking a long time, and I even heard a little complaints about some yellowing. So let's just say yields can be 5 or 10 bushels lower. Now, some people are saying they should be, you know, 10% lower. You know, 176 times 0.9, that puts us at a 158 yield. Let's not get there yet. Let's say we're 5 to 10 bushels lower. So we're at 171 and 166. So then what I do is I say, okay, let's use scenarios of 170, you know, 171 and 166, and we'll also do, let's see what it takes to look like at, you know, I'm sorry, we'll take a look at 90 acres with 171 yield, and we'll take a 87 planted with a 166 yield. When we do that, we go from, I would say, a production is about 14 billion on the 90 million acres and 171 yield, and we've got about production of 13.2 on production of 87 million acres and a 166 yield. It starts to bring down ending stocks of about 1.65 on that 90 and that 90 million acres and 171. So we get an ending stocks of 1.65 billion. And in that case, you know, July corn should be at $4. And you'd think new crop would be at about 420. Maybe July's at 410. New crop's at 430. We're almost there. So the market's already pricing that in. When we go to 87 million acres and we go to a 166 yield in corn, all of a sudden, when you initially do that number, ending stocks come down so much, you got to start adjusting demand, which is price rationing. So just to get it to a billion on ending stocks with 87 million and a 166 yield, 87 million acres planted and a 166 yield, you've got to bring down feed about 100 to 150 million bushels. You've got to bring ethanol down about 100 million bushels. And you've got to bring exports down about 100 to 150 million bushels. And if you do that, then you get to a billion bushels on the carryout, which is very, very bullish. And all of a sudden, we're talking about 450 corn, in the new crop, and maybe old crop goes to 430 or maybe even higher. Just depends what's going on with soybeans and wheat too. And, you know, South America plays a part in this, and China, the China deal does too. But it gets very bullish for corn, especially when we start talking about losing 5 to 6 million acres and, you know, a sub 170 yield. Things start to get price rationing territory for corn. Based on where we are right now, where prices are and where ending stocks could be, you would think the market's pricing in 90 million acres and a 170 yield, which maybe that's not aggressive enough, or maybe they're, you know, maybe the market's also pricing in bigger, larger number of demand loss due to ethanol has been kind of weak, you know, feed has been weak too, and so, you know, and the exports are going to be weaker in the South American production. So I still think we go higher. I think we, if it stays like this, we're not going to plant in Illinois, you know, for a week. We're not getting anything done in South Dakota for a week. We can just, you know, the planting progress week over week, you know, between this, if nothing gets done this week, we're going to still be in the same boat next week, and here we are, you know, heading over to into June. And I think for corn, if you can't get corn in Illinois by June 5th, you're probably not going to plant anything. And you just go prevent plant, or maybe you plant beans. I'm not too sure on that one. And I think in Iowa, it's the last day in May. So big dates coming up here, and the forecast still looks wet. When you do trade the weather markets, or you're marketing in the weather markets, we all live and die a little bit by the 12-hour, you know, cycles of the weather forecast. But for right now, that's where we are. And in terms of soybeans, so USDA said 84.6 million acres planted and a trend yield of 49.5, and it gave us an ending stocks of almost a billion. And then soybeans were really starting to come down even further after that, because there was thoughts of, well, if corn has issues, they're going to plant beans because beans get planted later in the year. But the way things are working is that, you know, we're going to have issues planting beans too. I know in Illinois, if you plant beans in June, you know, those farms in central Illinois that, you know, could get 70, 75, you know, bushels per acre, they start planting in June, they're going to get 50 to 55 bushels per acre. It's going to be a big deal. I would not be, and we're gonna have prevent plant in Illinois. In some parts, we'll definitely have it up north in the Dakotas, in South Dakota. So I've been running scenarios with soybeans where we play 1 to 2 million less, and the bushels per acre come down, you know, either 2.5 to 5, just to see what that looks like. Okay. So let's just take a minute here. If we lose 1 million acre and the yield is a 47. We lose 2.5 bushels. Basically, ending stocks are just under 700 million. So, you know, that gives us, you know, about a 16% stock to usage carryout. It's not great, but it does get the average price probably of November beans close to 9, all right? Which, you know, we'll take at the moment. If things continue to get worse, if the forecast stays like this, and we lose more acres and we have more of a yield drag, and we go to, let's say, 82.6 million acres and a yield of 44.5, which would be 5 bushels lower from where we are now, all of a sudden ending stocks are getting close to 400 million and stocks usage is 10%. And that is when old crop can be in the mid to high nines and new crop can be 10. So that's where we are. Losing 2 million acres and 5 on the bushels. We're not there yet, but I think it's a story that we're not hearing enough about of how bullish beans could be if this weather pattern persists. So I was writing about some ways to re-own some beans or maybe on the spec side to get long in my newsletter. That was going on today. We did have that announcement that, you know, we talked about with the USDA and the Bloomberg report that put a little damper on that, but I do think we rebound here. I think when the USDA does come out, I'm really hoping they're going to base things on historical production and not this year's production. So, and finally, just a little bit on the hard red winter wheat. We are hearing issues of crop issues, too much, you know, basically too much moisture, and it's really affecting the crop out west. So wouldn't be surprised to see the hard red wheat get a little bit of some traction here too. So corn, I know we've moved up a lot, but if the weather stays like this, and what we're gonna start hearing about is what are analysts saying about acres and yield, and if we're talking about 90 and a 170. Then these are probably the prices we should be at. But if they start talking about losing 5 to 6 million acres, and you start hearing 88, 87, and we start hearing about sub-170 yields, like 165s and stuff like that, then corn should be going higher. Same thing with soybeans. If the market starts to think we're going to be 1 to 2 million lower on the acres, and we're losing 2 to 5 bushels per acre, somewhere in that range, we should be going higher too, and I think we will. I do like Nov beans as kind of a little bit, you know, playing that bull spread is a way to be getting long, the same the way we did with Dees a while back on the corn, which is amazing how much that's run. You know, soybeans could do something similar if this story keeps up. The funds are still probably short, 150,000 contracts of corn. They're still very short. The bean market too, and they haven't really come out of those, but you know, beans have a little more of a headwind. They have a more direct link to the China issues and also all the feed problems with the meal and African swine flu. So I don't expect beans to, on a percentage-wise, to stick around with corn, but it could be the next one to go if this story keeps on persists. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to hold off on sales. I am a little behind on old crop for corn, so I'm going to make probably some old crop corn sales coming up. Probably not do anything for new crop. We're probably done with new crop sales for now. And I think we can go higher from both the spec side and also the hedge side. So if you like this podcast, please pass it around. I'm going to post my tables here. We're going to keep a real close eye on the market and the weather. If you have any questions about how I come up with these numbers and the price ranges, always happy to talk to you. If you know someone who likes this podcast or want the newsletter, please pass it along. And if you need any help with your marketing or trading, feel free to contact me. Again, all my contact information is either in the show notes or on my websites, turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. Both those websites will redirect you to my broker page here at Daniels Trading and talk a little bit about what I do for those products. So have a great week, everyone. Maybe one last thing you got to ask yourself is who wants to be short going into Memorial Day? Because I had some, you know, we had some clients here who were long, and they're saying, A, should I take profits, right? Which I get. You know, I don't want to I had this conversation actually quite a few times today. You know, do I want to hold, you know, how much longer do I want to hold it? And my response was, well, you know, profit's a profit, right? You take it when you can, but if you want to hold on to it, think about it this way. I know people don't want to be long maybe heading into the weekend, but who wants to be short heading into this weekend with the weather the way it is, right? And then on Monday also having that progress report, and on Friday we'll see commitment of traders, and maybe and not knowing how many shorts the funds came out of. So I think I'd rather, I would rather not be short heading into this weekend. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little bit of more short covering heading into the week, because it is a holiday weekend here, 3-day holiday weekend. So again, hopefully we can talk again by the end of the week. For the subscribers out there, we'll be active with the newsletter, and feel free to contact me anytime. If you're a client or you're just interested in Daniel's trading, or you just want to start a relationship with me. Have a great rest of your week. Good luck out there in the fields. Good luck trading. Talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.